Sunday. Today is July the 1st, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, recently a committee met to look at the Ohio Revised Code and some drug tolerance limitations and different policies as it applies to livestock and livestock exhibitions. We're going to talk about that and what some of the changes may mean after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Monday morning, check in with Roger High with the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation as he gives us an update on some rule changes in the Ohio Revised Code regarding drug tolerance levels in Ohio livestock exhibitions.
It was the time for the five-year review of the policies, Ohio Revised Code, Ohio Administrative Code that went with the livestock exhibition. So it was the opportunity for the committee to sit down and kind of really go through those and make sure that we made good changes that would benefit our livestock producers. So there was a subcommittee created that really dug through those. And we spent about 16 hours going through all of those rules and really reviewing them and making sure that they were beneficial. And one of the things that continued to pop up was this zero tolerance on substances that were used in livestock, in the livestock industry. And we felt like we were holding our 4-H and FFA exhibitors at the county fairs to a higher level than the rest of the livestock industry in terms of those products. When we really got to looking at it, we have been at zero tolerance on approved drugs for a number of years in our exhibition rules. And so one of the major discussions that really came out of there, and there was a lot of others, but one of the major discussions that came out of that subcommittee and then went on to the committee and then, of course, was put through, you know, the whole public comment and process was the idea that this zero tolerance issue. And we had other, you know, the rest of the livestock industry, you know, they have an FDA or they have a Fair Ed tolerance on almost all medications rather than a zero. So we really felt like, you know, we needed to bring our 4-H and FFA exhibition rules up to industry standards in terms of some of the medications, legally approved medications that were being used by our exhibitors. We didn't want anything that was unacceptable or unapproved or anything like that to go through that process. But anything that was approved by the livestock industry, we really felt, you know, like we should put our 4-H and FFA members in their families in those same guidelines. We're still going to be highly recommended that they have a veterinary client-patient relationship. You know, that for any medications or, you know, there's any disease mechanisms or, you know, a fever or anything like that, that they still have to have a veterinary client-patient relationship. The veterinarian has to give them the approved medications that they could use on those 4-H and FFA livestock animals. They still have to follow, you know, all of the other guidelines within the Ohio Revised Code. And there's a significant amount of them. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, exhibitors and their families kind of going through those. But the main thing is that if there is a positive medication test that comes out of those, that they will be looking at those from the Food and Drug Administration levels versus the zero tolerance, which is going to be a benefit to a lot of our producers, and it really puts them on the same plane as the rest of the livestock industry across the state and across the country.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. The USDA and various partners offer technical assistance to entities wishing to expand local meat and poultry processing capacity. USDA's Rod Bain has more on this opportunity.
You may be aware of USDA efforts to expand meat processing capacity through support of developing small and medium-sized facilities. This as part of creating greater resiliency in the meat processing supply chain. What may not be greatly realized is the aspect of technical assistance connected to these efforts.
Secretary Vilsack, folks at USDA realized that it wasn't just about throwing grants out to the countryside or putting together some revolving loan programs, that these folks really needed some technical assistance. They needed some help, not only to find and apply for grants, but to design their facilities, to put together their marketing plan, to figure out what they're going to do with their byproduct. So USDA pulled together a really robust network of organizations to provide technical assistance.
Among those, the Flower Hill Institute, which Dave Carter is associated with. Flower Hill serves as the overall technical assistance coordinator with USDA's Meat to Poultry Processing Capacity Technical Assistance Program. And Carter says as of last fall, over 1,000 requests for technical assistance have been submitted since the program's inception 2 years ago. In terms of what examples of requests for technical assistance look like, Carter starts with
a cooperative in Puerto Rico, representing about 70 hog producers. They have traditionally produced large roasting hogs for restaurants along what they call the pork highway in Puerto Rico, but now they want to produce more pork to go into the retail market because Puerto Rico only provides about 12% of their own food.
Among the applications for technical assistance by the Puerto Rican Pork Cooperative,
they're working with a local nonprofit called Fida Co-op that got money in from what's called the Meat and Poultry Intermediary Lending Program to provide some of that.
Meanwhile, processors in Maine are seeking assistance to produce halal products from cattle, goats, and sheep.
They're an existing small operation, but they want to develop into a larger commercial operation. The challenge there is trying to find market information and the like for those products and those markets.
Carter says requests for technical assistance on meat and poultry processing capacity are easily available and easy to fill out and submit.
You can go on to usda.gov/meat, or our website is Flower Hill Institute. You can Google that, and there's just a quick form that you can just submit. It takes about 5 minutes to let us know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and what you need, and we circle back with you within 24 hours to help out.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.